Morning, everybody. Yes, come on, guys. I need a little bit more. More, almal. Say, lekker. Sure. I think it's minute via bit. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I just thank you for, yes, Lord, what you want to do. Yes, Lord, thank you that it's not about us. It's not about what we thought, or what we want to do, or what we're going to do, Lord, but it's all about your kingdom, Lord. And I just ask for your kingdom to come this morning. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, you will prepare every single heart, Lord. I thank you that as we share the scriptures this morning, Lord God, that it'll just pierce through, it'll cut through like a two-edged sword, through bone and marrow, through any spiritual divide, Lord. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word is going to drop today. And we thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lekker. Okay, as you guys can see, Holy Spirit. It's a bit of a woo topic. Don't always hear people preaching about it. You can actually get the next slide there. Generally, when you say the Holy Spirit, this is the first thing a lot of people think about. And it's not Casper, I promise. People think it's a spooky thing. It says, whoa, give me anything but not the Holy Spirit, not that thing. I don't want that thing. And then you go to the other extremes. You can have the next slide there. You know, people think, oh, fantails. When I was younger, our parents had all these fantails. And it's actually interesting. They gave them the names of the family of blessed bridges, which is quite interesting. But I always thought that, you know, fantails, woo, that's the Holy Spirit living inside of them. You know, God did use it as an example, but they're just birds. But generally, when we think of the Holy Spirit, everybody's got like something else they think about. Like they think it's this or it's that or it's the other thing. And this morning, I really just want to give you guys scriptures. I'm going to be running through a lot of scripture. I promise you guys, there's no opinions here. There's not like, you know, some special thing that God showed me. I'm just going to be giving you guys what's in the Word of God. What is the Lord saying about the Holy Spirit? And the first thing is, well, what is it? The Holy Spirit is a divine person. It's not just a mere power. It's the third person in the Trinity, which means it is God. It's God in His entirety, but also yet His own. And God in His divine wisdom decided to reveal the Holy Spirit to the church only later, which we are seeing now. So, if we can have the next slide there. That was just a brief little sum up of the CV of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to give you guys some more. I'm going to go through the Holy Spirit's little resume. And so just bear with me. Like I said, there's quite a bit of scripture. So we can have the next slide there. Firstly, He took part in creation. Okay, that's pretty impressive on its own. Scripture there is Genesis 1, verses 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Incredible. He gives life. In Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. He speaks. Acts 1, verse 16, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. So the Holy Spirit spoke to men hundreds of years before things happened. He testifies for the and glorifies Christ in John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom will I send to you? For the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. He convicts of sin, John 16. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sorry, if you can have the next. Yeah, there you go. He teaches. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in His name, will teach you all the things and bring you remembrance of all you have said. He comforts and strengthens. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit He multiplied. He helps us to pray. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what you pray, and we doubt we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He leads us, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all the truth. For if you speak in your own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will declare you in the things that are to come. He sanctifies, Romans 15:16. To be a minister of Christ, the Gentiles, the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that offerings of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And finally, He transforms a sinner into a child of God. John 3:5. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. What an incredible resume. What an incredible CV. Professional overview, whatever you want to call it, of the Holy Spirit. And you can see the Holy Spirit's been there since the beginning, and it's going to be there in the end. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, but yet it is part of the Trinity. It is God Himself. It is a format that He decided to reveal Himself to us in. Best way I can actually explain this, if we go to the next slide, is in the Christian realm, we have what we call Christianese. You know, we've got all these words that we throw around all the time, and we just expect everybody to understand what it means. But a lot of times we say, okay, so how do I get the Holy Spirit? How do I get filled? How do I get this stuff going? And one of the best examples I can think of is, let's say we take a bucket of water, or a bucket that's half full of sand, and you put it under the tap. Open the tap, and it fills up the bucket. What do you guys think? Do you think the bucket is full of water, or do you think the bucket is half full of water? It's half full of water because there's still sand in there. But what happens if you leave the tap open and the water just continues to flow in? A lot of the water flows out, but what happens? Eventually the sand comes up, and eventually the bucket is full of water only. And that is one of the best ways I can, you know, tell you guys how the Holy Spirit operates. When we get saved, when we believe and we allow Jesus into our hearts, it's exactly that. The tap gets opened and we start getting filled with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with His being Christ-likeness. But still, all the stuff's still there. When we decide to follow Him, it doesn't mean everything that we've done, all our sins, everything is gone, all the chacha stuff in our lives, it's still there. But if you allow Him to continue to fill you, eventually all these things start moving out, and what happens? You become more like Christ. You can go to the next slide. This is where the fruits of the Holy Spirit comes in. That is the manifestation. That is the sort of the byproduct of being more like Jesus, or allowing the Holy Spirit in our lives. We start getting the fruits. Galatians 5:22. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we can just hover here for a second, these things are, it doesn't happen like that. The bucket's still full of sand. It takes time. It takes time to cultivate these. Those of you that ever, you know, planted a seed and watched it grow, it's quite a frustrating thing. It takes forever. And you know, a lot of times the stuff dies and then you have to plant again, and you know, sometimes you give it water or you give it too much water, and it's something that grows. You need to nurture it, you have to look after it, you have to continue to grow in that, and all of a sudden you'll start seeing more and more and more of these fruits starts showing up in your life. And generally you can't say, hey, I've got all the fruits of the Spirit. It's the people around you that notice it. They're the ones picking those fruits and enjoying it. You know, if you were in a place of, you have massive anger issues and you're always just getting mad with people, and all of a sudden, through Christ in your life, through that tap continually flowing with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, you start getting self-control. You start becoming gentle. Where does it come from? It's not from you, and it's not for you. It's for the people around you. If we can go to the next slide. Now, this is where it gets interesting. the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is generally when Casper comes out. Ooh, not that one. Don't give me that one. What is the difference? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, this is the fun part. When we receive Jesus in our hearts, we receive Him. So it's basically we start getting filled. So there's a measure of the Holy Spirit, because Christ is also part of the Trinity, which means He's also part of the Holy Spirit is inside. But then there comes a time where we need to get water baptized, where it's a physical showing the world, showing the spiritual realm that we belong to Jesus. And then there's a third section, which is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, to not just work on the fruits, but to empower us with the gifts so that we can go out into the world and powerfully show that we are not just here to sit on a Sunday or on a Wednesday and like a Jesus, you know. We can go out, we can do miracles, we can prophesy over people, we can have visions. All these gifts will come into line. If we can have the next slide. In Corinthians 1, in Corinthians 12, verse 7-11, we see that the Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way, and that is for the good of all. So not just for some, for the good of all. So some people, the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. To others, the Spirit gives a message of knowledge. To others, the same Spirit gives a spirit of faith. To others, the one Spirit gives a gift of healing. To others, He gives the power to do miracles. To others, He gives the ability to prophesy. To others, He gives the ability to tell spirits apart. To others, He gives the ability to speak in different kind of languages that they had not known before. And still others, He gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And He gives to each person just as He decides. Now, how incredible is that? Some people might think, oh, well, I can only get one, or, you know, something like that, or I'm not destined to get the gifts. That's nonsense. Jesus wants to give all of us these gifts, and not just one, but if you're in a situation and there's someone that's sick, He wants to give you that gift of healing to pray for that guy in that moment. Doesn't mean you going to start your own little crusade of, you know, healing people. It means God wants to use you where you're at. You might be sitting in your office, someone's got a sneeze, and you say, Lord, empower me with that gift. You pray for that guy, next time he comes back and he's healed, that's a testimony. All of a sudden, you have access to speak into that man's life or woman's life. There's opportunity, there's power in being a Christian. We're not just here for the Manskane and Ruessa. We're here to walk in power and in authority. We're here to actually make a difference in our community. These gifts aren't for us to keep and put somewhere in a back closet. It's for us to use. It's for the people around us. Let me see if I didn't miss anything there. So also the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of those things where it's a very contested topic. Of course, we know there's like 1 million denominations around out there. And half of them quibble and argue about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But today I'm going to be just giving you guys some examples out of the Word, because that's the only reference we've got. And once we see these examples, I'm going to try and build you guys a little picture. And at the end of the day, I want you guys to have a hunger. And I want you guys to have a thirst for this. And I want you guys to know that it's for everybody. It's a gift. It's free. It's not an exclusive club. It's for everybody. And the Holy Spirit decides what measure He's going to give it to you. This is the beauty of it. If we just go back to the previous slide, Dominique, if we look at that dot, the word baptism itself, I found quite an interesting explanation for it. And what they say is it's like being dyed or dipped and being completely different when surfaced. Now, how incredible is that? If you look at that piece of cloth going into the dye, coming out, it's never the same again. Now, this is, if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit,
you will never be the same again. You are different. You have been drenched in Christ, in the Holy Spirit.
So where did this all start? If we can just go 2 slides forward. There we go. Started with Jesus. Well, it started in the Old Testament. There's over 88 references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit really went into fifth gear. You know, it went into turbo and gekick. You know? It's not an old carburetor, it's proper TSI. And we see that it started with Jesus. So if we read the scripture there, in Matthew 1, verses 20, what while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is now Joseph, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Sure, now imagine getting that conversation. You know, sort of what goes on in your mind. But anyway, we believe the Lord. And thankfully, he chose Joseph that was able to deal with this and say, yes, Lord, do your will. But Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. Then we see, well, where did that manifest? Now, Jesus, since the time he was born till about age 30, he didn't do any miracles, he didn't do any ministry. It was just a time of preparation. If we go to the next slide, until Jesus came to John the Baptist, and in obedience, he needed to be baptized. And we just thank the Lord. He does things differently all the time. He gets baptized, and all of a sudden, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon him. So let's just read that scripture in Luke 3, verses 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased. Amazing. So God actually baptized Jesus in the Holy Spirit as a physical manifestation, as an example to show us. And the scripture's not on there, but in Philippians 2, verses 5, I just want to read that to you. Let his mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus became the example, and as an example, he showed us to be baptized in water, and then supernaturally God baptized him in the Holy Spirit. What happened then? Desert, he was being tempted by the devil, and he was able to withstand the devil. He was able to show him the road. And then his ministry started, and it was just miracles and wonders and signs and just amazing things happened. All of a sudden, Jesus, he was on the map. And it's because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He started accessing the gifts. Some of you might, I don't know, who's got a polo, yeah, it's in the church, or, okay, any car that you can buy a basic model. You know, it's just got the old, doesn't have electric windows or power steering, or doesn't have turbo or aircon. Now, it's the same with that. You get this model, but then you can go to the manufacturer and say, okay, I want electric windows, I want power steering, I want aircon, I want a lichy at the back of my boot, you know, these weird things they leave out. It's the same like that. The only thing is it's for free. So we've got the basics. At the end of the day, you start off with a Polo, at the end of the day, you're sitting with a GTI, you know. We're going to be GTIs, guys, come on, in the spirit here. We can go to the next slide. The early church starts receiving it. So it doesn't end with Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples in Acts 1:18, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they've come together, they asked him, saying,
Lord, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time for the season, for the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive the power. Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So Jesus knew, and he said to the guys, listen, this is important. You can't miss this. This is something you can't miss this bus. This is pivotal. Without this, all Jesus' hard work, all his words were going nowhere. And what happened? The day of Pentecost happened. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. One sat upon each other, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with each other in tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. There wasn't like one or two of them that got it. They all received it. It's for all of us. And what happened that same day? Over 3,000 people believed the gospel, the word of Lord Jesus. When they went outside, all of a sudden, boom, things started happening. Guys, we need to catch this. The Lord wants to give us these gifts. He wants us to activate us. Doesn't want a bunch of polos driving around. He wants GTIs driving around fast and furious. He wants us to be powerful. He wants us to really make an impact in your community. And you think like, oh, but where am I going to make an impact? When you walk outside of your door, you're going to start making an impact if you have the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens next? Next slide. The word spreads. One of the first examples we get is of Philip. And we read there in Acts 8, verses 4. Therefore, they were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So he gave them the gospel. And the multitudes with one accord heeded these things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And it goes on about for unclean spirits were crying out loud, and many were possessed and were healed and delivered, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. But what was the thing? Remember, Philip was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He received the power to be able to heal and to deliver and to preach. If we look there, then Peter and John, they heard that, great, Samaria heard the word, but they haven't been prayed for. They haven't received the Holy Spirit. So we see in Acts 8, 14 to 17, now the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent Peter and John to them, whom when they had come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet they had fallen upon none of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So now, yeah, we start seeing where the Lord, he did it supernaturally to Jesus, but now he says, great, I've given it to you. You need to lay your hands on someone, and there's a transference of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just a form of obedience. It's got nothing to do with the person. It's just the way that the Holy Spirit decided to release it onto the people. So they heard the word. They were sitting in church, and they heard the word. They believed, and there was signs and wonders and miracles that Philip did. But then they realized it's not going to go anywhere unless these people become empowered and they can go out and they can go spread the word. So they came and they prayed for them. If we look at the next slide, we all know who Cornelius is. He was one of the first Gentiles, a Roman soldier or citizen, that received the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts 10:44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came to him. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So yeah, again, they didn't even lay hands on Jesus. The Holy Spirit just did it spontaneously. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So hallelujah. God mixes things up again. You know, there's no 1, 2, 3 shake and everything's lacquer. You know, there's no formula to this. The Lord has given us principles and has given us these keys. If we go on to, if we look at the conversion of Saul to Paul, we all know his story. He was killing the Christians because he was so fanatical about the temple and the law that, you know, these guys are ruining the party. So he was just killing the Christians. He was on his way to actually go and execute and persecute some Christians in a town. Jesus came in a vision and miraculously saved him. So he received Christ. He was blind, but he hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet. Interesting. So what happens? The Lord sends a guy called Ananias. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight." So there's already a miracle happening there. "And be filled with the Holy Spirit." He needed to be empowered for his ministry to come. Immediately fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received the sight. And once he arose and he was baptized. Hallelujah. Again, the Lord does things differently. Yeah, guy got saved, got filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he got baptized. So it's not about the process. I want to just make sure you guys understand that it's about following the key principles. If we look at the next slide, Paul on the road to Ephesus in Acts 19:1-7. When Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, and he found some disciples, and they asked him, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No. What is this Holy Spirit thing?" So Paul said, "Then what baptism did you receive?" And they said, "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and he told the people to believe in the one coming after him." So he started giving them the gospel. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And what happened? Boom. They started speaking in tongues and prophesying. So these guys were empowered. They experienced the Holy Spirit in a new way. They understood the process. Just as water baptism is something that happens apart, as an addition. You know, that's like aircon you're putting into your polo. It's another thing you put in. Then the Holy Spirit comes. It's something that we need to ask for. It's a free gift. It's openly available for us. And it accesses such immense power through the Holy Spirit to be people of change, people of destiny, not just zombies walking around. He says, you know, we need to be empowered, but we need the Holy Spirit. If I can have my worship team, you guys can come up so long. It's just interesting to note how the Lord works differently with everybody. I've, you know, just preparing for this message, they came up and someone prayed for them, and they didn't receive anything. And on their way to, you know, go buy ice cream to home, boom, that's where it comes. And they receive the time. Whatever the Lord decides to do. In my own life, I was in a place where I was in a youth camp, and I was like, I also want to experience this. I want to see the Holy Spirit. I want it to be real. They gave opportunity and went up and prayed, and I was like, nothing's happening. And I remember that counselor, he just said, "Listen, let's just pray again." He prayed again, and boom. And through the years, the Lord has cultivated this tongue. It's not in a place where it's free. It's been its own thing. I don't know what's going on there. But the Holy Spirit is operating. And it's GTI. And, you know, so there's no formula to this. That's what I'm trying to say, guys. There's no religiosity. There's no sort of entry. The Lord has given us principles. To believe in Jesus, we need to have Him in our hearts. Once He's there, it's like the crown is whipped and the bucket is being filled. then baptized in water, because we want to show the world, we want to show the spiritual realm, serious about believing in it. Once you do that, then all of a sudden, then you're part of the bigger body. Then, baptism. So there's something we need to ask for, it's an addition. That means you access the gifts. Remember, it's got nothing to do with you. It's not for you, it's for people around you. It's for the world, to show them the power of people, to help them to go into the ministry. So you don't have to be a full-time ministry to enjoy the gifts. All of us are full-time ministry. When you get into your car and you go to work, that's your ministry. When you at your home with your kids, that's your ministry. When you go to the beach, that's your ministry. We're all in full-time ministry, whether you like it or not. You're ministering, something. What are you ministering? God has given us this freedom. The Holy Spirit is there to empower us. But there's a catch. We need to confess our sins. We need to get rid of that compass, all that sand that's in there. We need to get rid of that stuff, guys. We need to say, Jesus, forgive me. And as we walk the road with them, as that bucket gets filled, see that we become more like Christ, more like Him, and exhibit His fruits. People start enjoying the fruits of Christ. Those are the good stuff. It's the export fruit. It's a nice thing we don't get on the shelf. The Lord wants us to show the world good fruits. Sure, we know not perfect. There's still going to be a couple of bad fruit showing out there. When you get squeezed, then some of the bad stuff comes out. But then the Lord comes and He prunes those branches. Because I know this is like when the new one comes out, and the good fruits starts coming in. Keep being filled. I'm going to leave you guys with the next slide. How do you receive the baptism? It's easy, guys. It's really easy. The scriptures, made it so easy for us. Luke 11, 9. So I say to you, given to you, say to you, ask, seek, you will find, knock, it will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, it will be open. The Son asks for bread. Any father know me? Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you ask for an egg, will you offer them a scorpion? If then, being evil, how giving good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Guys, I want to reason how the Lord said, let's shake this up a little bit this morning. I want to give you guys an opportunity this morning. As we've seen in the Word, does it how spontaneously, boom, happens, you get an upgrade. Laying on hands, if you're someone that has already received the baptism, you pray for someone. What about that person? About the Holy Spirit filling them with the shell. Cookie slide. The Holy Spirit works through us. How else? Through the Word, through sitting in the Word, through consuming, through having that tap open. That's how we get filled. So I want to give you guys an opportunity this morning. We're going to go into a latter time of worship. I don't know what the Lord's going to be doing. I'm so excited. But in that time, there's going to be some of us here in the front where if you feel you want to have a pop-up, you've received the Holy Spirit and you've received some gifts, you've operated in that, but you feel this tank's empty, that the buckets are popping off. There's some sand blown in and you need to fill up. Come up, let us pray for you. If you don't want to, I believe the Lord can catch you on the seat, can catch you on the way to work tomorrow, can catch you while you're sleeping in your bed. There's no formula. The Holy Spirit can come upon you. I want to give you guys an opportunity. So as they're worshiping, I want you guys to worship and really just plug into the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord, fill me where I'm at. If you want extra prayer, if you want us to come pray for other, to receive the tongue, or to receive a gift, or to to really just to supercharge, you know, refill, to come up. We'll pray for you, we'll lay hands on you, and we'll trust the Lord to get us, that the Holy Spirit will do its work. The Holy Spirit says it gives freely, it gives as it wishes to us as believers. So, as we go into this time of worship, I really want you guys not to sort of think about the roast in the oven, or think about the cupcakes that's chilling there. I want you guys to plug into Jesus, plug into the Holy Spirit. Okay, so one prayer we hear, otherwise he's going to catch you on your seat. Come on, let's just plug in, let's refill, let's open that tap and keep it open. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to go into that. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for your power. I thank you for your Holy Spirit to come upon us, Lord. I thank you that you're going to empower us today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you're going to just refill us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that these buckets are going to flow out into the street, into the people around us, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that as we plug into your word, as we plug into your worship, Lord Jesus, that you show us things, Lord, that you will loosen gifts, that people will be open for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for prophecy, for healing, for tongues, Lord, for interpretations, Lord. I thank you that you're going to ignite these things, Lord. I thank you that you're going to turn us from the polo to the deep. Some special plan for us, Lord. I just